and sisters, it's my privilege to be with you this morning and to bring the Word of God to you. I would like you to turn with me in the Word of God, the Word through which God wants to give us and maintain our faith. When we read from Luke chapter 9, verse 51 through 56, and then after that, Luke 10, verse 21 through 37, when agents try to sell their homes, the houses, they always tell you as a client, the most important thing when buying a home is, well, there are basically three things to remember. It's location, location, and location. And when we preach from God's Word, there are also three things to remember, and that is context, context, and context. And I'm trying to give you the context of this very well-known parable by reading first from Luke chapter 9, verse 51. As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He embarks, therefore, on this journey now to Jerusalem, his final visit to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers on ahead, who went into a Samaritan village to get things ready for him. But the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked, "Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them. Then he and his disciples went to another village. And after that, we're going to read now from chapter 10, verse 21. Jesus now sent 72 disciples in front of him, preparing the towns to receive him as he's on his way now to Jerusalem. The cities must be prepared to receive him as the Messiah, as the one coming to work salvation and showing God's mercy to them. Verse 21, at that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see but did not see, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it." And on one of these occasions, therefore, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. In other words, Jesus just made tremendous claims for himself. He is the one through whom the Father reveals himself. And you can know the Father only through Christ. And now this expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Can he really be what he pretends to be? Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. May the Lord bless the reading and also then the preaching of his word to us. Brothers and sisters, the parable of the Good Samaritan is well known, perhaps too well known to most of us. Even in cultures where with a remote connection to Christianity, the figure, the person of the Good Samaritan is used as an example of goodness, an example of compassion, of somebody who cares. In the modern Western culture, it is nothing less than a symbol of the ideal love for your fellow human being. This parable then functions as a graphic illustration of loving self-sacrifice for the sake of your neighbor. Love shown to somebody that perhaps may not even be of your group. Perhaps may even be your natural enemy. In this way, this parable is taken to be a vivid illustration of the intensity of Christian ethics. The character of love demonstrated towards our fellow human beings. But the question on the table, that is put on the table in this parable, is not the question about the character of our love between one another. The expert in the law is testing Jesus. He asked a very pointed question, and that is the question that Jesus is giving an answer to through this parable. The question is very simple. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he asked that to test Jesus. The relationship here that Jesus is now going to talk about is the relationship with him. It is a question motivated not by a real interest in eternal life. His whole motivation is to test Jesus. Is and can Jesus really be who he says he is? Who he pretends to be? Jesus, just before this, made this claim. All things have been committed to me by the Father. To his disciples separately, he even says, blessed are your ears to hear what they hear. Blessed are the ears that hear what I say. Blessed are the eyes that can see me. Because I chose to reveal God to you. Blessed are you if you can have me. Now, that claim of Jesus is now tested by this teacher of Moses' law. Interesting enough, Jesus also answered this teacher of the law by referring to the law. What does the law say? What must you do to be saved? Well, the answer is clear. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength and with your entire mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love God. Enjoy Him. Live with Him. And love your neighbor. And now you see, this question becomes very pertinent, very important. And who is my neighbor? The answer, or to answer that question, Jesus now tells this parable of this Samaritan. Who is this neighbor that must be loved like yourself to receive salvation? Well, the one to be loved as yourself is God presenting Himself as a neighbor at that moment to this teacher of the law. The neighbor to be loved is God present in Christ, revealing God in all His mercy, in flesh and blood, presenting Himself as a neighbor. There in front of the teacher of the law stands somebody, flesh and bone, just like us. His feet is dirty with dust. Nothing glorious. But he makes enormous claims. Blessed are you if you can see me. Blessed are your ears if you can hear my teaching. I will sum up the whole message that we receive from this passage. Christ, full of mercy, is worthy of all our love. And now we're going to see in the first place how He presents Himself to us as a neighbor to be loved. What do we usually do with this parable? Well, we tend to moralize it. I know a little bit about that as somebody that teaches and studies ethics. People tend, in the best ethical handbooks, you will get this parable as an illustration of love for your fellow human being. Quite a few good textbooks in the past few years. On the cover of the book, an illustration of the Samaritan showing love. But this question of the teacher of the law, who is my neighbor, it doesn't come out of the blue without this context. No. We read in chapter 9, the time approached for Jesus to be taken up to heaven. But between His taken up to heaven and where Jesus is now, there's a journey to Jerusalem. And He must be rejected. Even when He starts His journey, immediately He went through a town of the Samaritans. And lo and behold, how is He received? As the Messiah? As the one? When you hear Him, you are blessed? No. He's not one of us. He's rejected. If He's on His way to Jerusalem, well, then He belongs to the Jews, not to us. He's not one of us. And they reject Him. And you've seen the reaction of His apostles. Lord, do you want us to call fire down from heaven to destroy them? No, He was not received as King and Savior. They rejected Him. And now Immediately after that, Jesus even intensifies his pretensions. Now to the people of Israel, he sends out not only 12, but 72 disciples. All people in Israel must be made ready to receive him, to have their eyes fixed on him, on his way to Jerusalem. They must all receive him in Jerusalem as the king, the son of David. All things in heaven have been committed by his heavenly Father to him, this man, on his journey to Jerusalem. On a journey to be crowned? Yes, in the end, he will ascend to heaven. But before that, the rejection will continue. He will be denied even by his own disciples. He must be crucified. He must die for us. He must show compassion to us, to the people of Israel. Now, the expert in the law challenges that. He tests Jesus. Can he be this? Now, you tell me, what must I do to receive eternal life? Well, the answer has to be given to the question, who is your neighbor? Hence the need of this parable. A simple story about a man helpless under the attacks of robbers, being held by somebody totally unexpected. Who would have expected the Samaritan to help this man that fell under the robbers? No. The Levite perhaps, the priest perhaps will help him, but not the Samaritan. Never. After telling the parable, Jesus confronts the law expert with this question. Who of the three do you think, you, teacher of the law, was the neighbor to be loved? To the man who fell into the hands of the robbers. Who is the neighbor that must be loved? Love your neighbor like you love yourself. The answer is clear. You can't miss out on that. Who is the neighbor? The teacher of the law acknowledges the one who had mercy on him. That's the neighbor that must be loved like yourself. And now, Mr. Expert in the law, go and do like this man. Love the one that showed mercy, that shows compassion, that shows that he cares. Go and do likewise. Go and love your neighbor. Do that, and you shall have eternal life. And here Christ stands right in front of him, presenting himself as that neighbor that really has compassion on him. He cares for him. He goes out of his way to show love to this man. He could have ignored him because this man didn't approach him in faith, with friendliness. How he approached Jesus with enmity. Love this neighbor, and you shall have life eternal with God. And now in the second place, last place, we will see how abundant he is in his mercy. What is Christ therefore asking of this teacher of the law? Love me. Love me for being the one giving myself to you and your needs. You fell amongst robbers. You don't even know that. You were robbed of all your glory, of all your wealth. You've got nothing. You're poor. And here I am. Everything has been given to me by the Heavenly Father. And I want to show it to you. Nothing. With your whole being. Give yourself over to me. Come with all your needs. Come as you are in your pathetic situation. Love me because here I am on my way to Jerusalem to give myself for you. Shall you not love me? Here I am. I didn't need to do this. Nobody forced Jesus to do this. Out of compassion, because he cared, he was on his way to Jerusalem. The Samaritan. And let now the story work in on us. The Samaritan, when he saw the man, he didn't ignore him and went another way, like Jesus could have done with this man. No, we read there, he felt for him. He cared. He took pity on him. Jesus could have walked over this teacher of the law. The need and the predicament of the man that fell under the robbers touched the Samaritan. And then he got involved with his whole being. He was also on his journey, but he ignored that for a moment to give attention to this man. The Samaritan did not saw somebody in need and then send somebody else to take care of the situation. He didn't saw the man, got out his cell phone and phone 911. Here's somebody that needs help. Please come quickly. I'm on my way for a very important appointment to Jerusalem. I must be taken up to heaven. Can't wait. Can't stop. No. He took pity on him. He got involved with this man. He saw somebody in need. And he approached the man himself. And then he phoned an ambulance. No. Then he bandaged the man. And then he phoned the ambulance. No. Then he put the man on his own donkey. And he brought the man to an inn. And they relieved him. No. There, he took care of him. And when, in the end, the Samaritan had to leave, the expenses for the stay in the inn came from his own wallet. The wallet of the Samaritan. He took him for his own account. I will pay all expenses. Who is the neighbor? That must be love. Love your neighbor. Love the one that's standing in front of you. Love the one who had mercy on you. Love the one that is showing compassion by giving himself for you. Love the one that's getting involved in your life, that bows down to you, that doesn't stand at a distance and invite you. If you come to me, then. No. He comes and he asks to be loved, because he shows course he shows mercy. This passage starts with a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? It's an important question. Love your neighbor. Love the one that presented himself in flesh and bone. Dirty feet, seemingly powerless, helpless, on his way to Jerusalem. Give yourself over to this Christ in faith. He wants to take care of you. Allow him, through faith, to demonstrate his tender love and care for you. And love him for that. Love him like you love yourself. Love the Lord your God with your whole being and your neighbor. Just imagine what it meant for that teacher of the law at that moment. Christ standing there in front of him. Go and do likewise. Love the one who had mercy. And here Jesus was. Rejected by other people. Will this teacher of the law trust Jesus? Will he entrust his whole life to this man? About to be rejected even by the elders, by the Pharisees? This man that is about to be crucified, that is about to die? He didn't know at that stage time was approaching for Jesus to be taken up in heaven. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. He is the only one that can show mercy, compassion. He is the only one that can really get involved in your lives. Are you prepared to entrust yourself to this Savior to take care of you? Even though sometimes it seems as if there's nobody that will help. Now Jesus won't ignore you. He won't be like the priest that take another route, that ignores you. Call on him with all your needs. This is what is needed to inherit eternal life. Receive the gift of life from Jesus Christ and trust yourself to him. And in this way, the law truly receives its fulfillment, dear sir, teacher of the law. For in one, love the Lord your God with everything in you and your neighbor, presenting himself as man to be loved, to be trusted. Amen. Shall we pray? Have expected the Samaritan to help this man that fell under the robbers. No. The Levite perhaps, the priest perhaps will help him, but not the Samaritan. Never. After telling the parable, Jesus confronts the law expert with this question. Who of the three do you think, you, teacher of the law, was the neighbor to be loved? To the man who fell into the hands of the robbers. Who is the neighbor that must be loved? Love your neighbor like you love yourself. The answer is clear. You can't miss out on that. Who is the neighbor? The teacher of the law acknowledges to one who had mercy on him. That's the neighbor that must be loved like yourself. And now, Mr. Expert in the Law, go and do like this man. Love the one that showed mercy, that shows compassion, that shows that he cares. Go and do likewise. Go and love your neighbor. Do that, and you shall have eternal life. And here Christ stands right in front of him, presenting himself as that neighbor that really has compassion on him. He cares for him. He goes out of his way to show love to this man. He could have ignored him because this man didn't approach him in faith, with friendliness. Now he approached Jesus with enmity. Love this neighbor, and you shall have life eternal with God. And now in the second place, last place, we will see how abundant he is in his mercy. What is Christ therefore asking of this teacher of the law? Love me. Love me for being the one giving myself to you and your needs. You fell amongst robbers. You don't even know that. You were robbed of all your glory, of all your wealth. You've got nothing. You're poor. And here I am. Everything has been given to me by the Heavenly Father. And I want to show it to you. With your whole being. Give yourself over to me. Come with all your needs. Come as you are in your pathetic situation. Love me because here I am on my way to Jerusalem to give myself for you. Shall you not love me? Here I am. I didn't need to do this. Nobody forced Jesus to do this. Out of compassion, because he cared, he was on his way to Jerusalem. The Samaritan. And let now the story work in on us. The Samaritan, when he saw the man, he didn't ignore him and went another way, like Jesus could have done with this man. No, we read there, he felt for him. He cared. He took pity on him. Jesus could have walked over this teacher of the law. The need and the predicament of the man that fell under the robbers touched the Samaritan. And then he got involved with his whole being. He was also on his journey, but he ignored that for a moment to give attention to this man. The Samaritan did not saw somebody in need and then send somebody else to take care of the situation. He didn't saw the man, got out his cell phone and phone 911. Here's somebody that needs help. Please come quickly. I'm on my way for a very important appointment to Jerusalem. I must be taken up to heaven. Can't wait. Can't stop. No. Took pity on him. He got involved with this man. He saw somebody in need. And he approached the man himself. And then he phoned an ambulance. No. Then he
bandaged the man. And then he phoned the ambulance. No. Then he put the man on his own donkey. And he brought the man to an inn. And there he left him. No. There he took care of him. And when in the end the Samaritan had to leave, the expenses for the stay in the inn came from his own wallet, the wallet of the Samaritan. He took him for his own account. I will pay all expenses. Who is the neighbor? That must be love. Love your neighbor. Love the one that's standing in front of you. Love the one who had mercy on you. Love the one that is showing compassion by giving himself for you. Love the one that's getting involved in your life, that bows down to you, that doesn't stand at a distance and invite you, if you come to me, then. No. He comes and he asks to be loved because he shows compassion, because he shows mercy. This passage starts with a question: what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's an important question. Love your neighbor. Love the one that presented himself in flesh and bone. Dirty feet, seemingly powerless, helpless, on his way to Jerusalem. Give yourself over to this Christ in faith. He wants to take care of you. Allow him through faith to demonstrate his tender love and care for you. And love him for that. Love him like you love yourself. Love the Lord your God with your whole being and your neighbor. Just imagine what it meant for that teacher of the law at that moment. Christ standing there in front of him. Go and do likewise. Love the one who had mercy. And here Jesus was, rejected by other people. Will this teacher of the law trust Jesus? Will he entrust his whole life this man, about to be rejected even by the elders, by the Pharisees? This man that is about to be crucified, that is about to die? But he didn't know at that stage. Time was approaching for Jesus to be taken up in heaven. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. He is the only one that can show mercy, compassion. He is the only one that can really get involved in your lives. Are you prepared to entrust yourself to this Savior to take care of you? Even though sometimes it seems as if there's nobody that will help. But Jesus won't ignore you. He won't be like the priest that take another road, that ignores you. Call on him with all your needs. This is what is needed to inherit eternal life. Receive the gift of life from Jesus Christ and trust yourself to Him. And in this way, the law truly receives its fulfillment, dear sir, teacher of the law. For in one, love the Lord your God with everything in you, and your neighbor, presenting himself as man, to be loved, to be trusted. Amen. Shall we pray?